Our subject is the self-knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 50. We look at this servant song that we find here from verse 4. Isaiah chapter 50 then, from verse 4 through to verse 11. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. So I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. Amen. Our subject then is the self-knowledge of Jesus Christ. And specifically what we are asking is, how did the Lord Jesus Christ come to the knowledge that he is the Son of God, and the knowledge of his mission and his purpose in coming into the world? So I guess there are two questions there, aren't there? How did Christ come to understand who he is? And how did he come to understand his mission and his purpose? Now, I'm sure we're all agreed that the Lord Jesus Christ did know himself to be the Son of God. He knew his purpose was to come and to seek and to save the lost. He knew it. But what we are going to reflect on together is, how did he know that? So it's a case of, how do we know what we know? That's the general question that we are thinking about. I'm sure you're all looking a bit blank there. Can you see the distinction I'm talking about? What we know, but how we come to that knowledge. So Jesus knows who he is. He knew the purpose of his ministry. He knew that he had come into the world to go to the cross. He knows that. We are thinking about, how did he come to that knowledge? How did he arrive at that knowledge? So that's the major question that we have to think about this evening. And I guess, given the nature of how I'm here this evening, all I can do is suggest to you what the issue seems to me to be. But we also need to ask a second question, and that is, why do we need to think about this? What is gained by thinking about how Christ came to know his identity and his mission? Let's start there then. We'll ask what's gained by this question, and then we'll move on to look at the possibilities. To me at least, I think that we need to understand as much as we can the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would all agree, wouldn't we, that Christ is at the heart of our faith. And Paul says that his whole desire is to know him. And if we are to know him, then we have to ask very difficult, very fundamental, very mind-stretching questions about the Lord Jesus Christ. So why we're asking this question is to further increase our understanding of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just remind ourselves of what we all believe. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has two natures, and yet he is one God. One God, one person, fully man, fully God. We understand that. We understand the great mystery that that is, that he is fully man with a body and a soul, a mind and a will. That's his human nature. He is fully God. Both natures meet in one person. We understand that. And what we are called to do, it seems to me, is to reflect very deeply on his divinity and on his humanity. How can we bring these together? How can we plumb the depth of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember Paul writing in 1 Timothy 3 when he says, "Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh." We have to struggle with this question. If we are to understand him, if we are to understand his sufferings, if we are to understand his love for us, if we and to understand his sacrifice. These are the reasons why, then, it seems to me, that we need to ask this question. So we are trying to come to the person of Christ, reflect on him, worship him, know him, and serve him in these questions. So how does Christ come to self-knowledge? Now, if any of you are concerned at all about how we know what we know, then there's a great deal of literature available, philosophical literature, theological literature, that focuses on the way our minds are able to reflect on ourselves and then come to a knowledge of ourselves. I want to offer to you what I think are the options, the sources of Christ's self-knowledge. First of all, then, let's start with the fact of his divinity. He is the eternal Son of God, and he becomes flesh. Now, we need to ask the question, when the Son of God became flesh, when he joined human nature to himself, did his knowledge as the Son of God, his divine knowledge, flood his human consciousness? If that is the case, did that happen from the very earliest moments of his human life, or would it have been a gradual process? Do you remember Luke chapter 2, when he's that young boy, he's at the temple and he says to his parents that he needs to be out about his father's business? He has this knowledge. So are we to say that it's the divine Son of God, that the divine knowledge permeating, suffusing, if you like, washing through his human consciousness so that he knows himself to be the Son of God? We have that as an option. We have that as a something to reflect on very profoundly. And yet, I'm sure you were aware, as I am, that Christ confessed limitations to his own knowledge. How do we then seek to pursue this matter of his divine knowledge, and then in terms of his ministry, when talking about the second coming, or that occasion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, when he spends the night in prayer to God, and then early in the morning he chooses the 12 men who were to be his closest disciples. There seems to be these occasions when he confesses to a lack of knowledge, or when he seeks the help and the direction of God in order to move on in his early ministry. So you have the knowledge of Christ as God, and then how that works out in terms of his ministry, his life here in the world as man. That's the first source of his knowledge of himself, then, is the Son of God, the consciousness of the Son of God joined to human nature and then worked out in terms of one person. Secondly, and we're going to look at this passage in Isaiah in a few moments, that Christ comes to a knowledge of himself and his ministry as a result of God revealing to him, speaking with him directly about his person and his work. So the second area to reflect on is his relationship to God, and in that, God revealing to him his person, revealing to him his ministry. Now, you're well aware of those significant moments, aren't you, during the ministry of Christ, when the voice was heard from the excellent glory, we are told, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Those moments when God the Father spoke about who Christ is, spoke about his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke so that others might have been aware that Christ himself would have heard. There's the second idea then, the second area for us to think about. How about the ministry of others and their contribution to Christ's self-understanding? If you turn to the Gospels, perhaps to Luke's Gospels, particularly Luke's Gospel in the early chapters, you've got there Mary, his mother, you have Joseph, his father, you have the temple narratives recorded for us in these early chapters, Simeon and Anna in chapter 2, how it was revealed to them who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And what you then reflect on is, would they have spoken to Christ about his person? Would his mother, would his father, throughout his time at home in Nazareth, would they have shared with him their revelation from God about Christ, about his name, about his ministry, that he would come to save his people from their sins? Would that have contributed towards Christ's understanding of his person and of his ministry? And then fourthly, and we'll turn to Isaiah in a moment, the place of the scriptures themselves in Christ's understanding of himself. Would he have gained through his reading of the Old Testament an idea of himself? Would he have been taught by the Holy Spirit? Would he have read in the Psalms? Would he have read throughout Isaiah and seen in those passages his person, himself, reflected back to him? And would that then have shaped his understanding of himself and the understanding of his ministry? His divine nature, God revealing, God speaking to him, his parents, others who would have had revelation, John the Baptist and his ministry, and then the place of the scriptures. All these seem to me to lead Christ to a self-understanding. And I want to do with you is to draw attention to two of those sources, the Word of God, and then God the Father speaking to Christ, revealing to Christ in terms of his relationship. Turn then to Isaiah chapter 50, to this passage that we read together earlier. Isaiah chapter 50. And from verse 4 onwards, you have this depiction of the servant of God as the perfect disciple, the relationship between the servant and the Lord God. And if you start at verse 4, you read there, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." If you start at the end of verse 4 then, "He awakens me morning by morning." What it seems to me we have here is the picture of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, who is the Lord God, and the Father revealing to him on this day-by-day basis, revealing to him who he is, revealing to him his purposes, revealing to him his will, revealing to him his word, the path that he should take in his life. And so you have this idea of an unfolding revelation from God to Christ about his purpose. And as God reveals to Christ in this ongoing way, you have Christ confessing to us through these words that he listens to God, that he learns from God, that he learns who he is, that he learns how to minister, that he learns how to be a prophet, how to be a priest, how to be someone who can encourage others. And so this whole idea of learning from God, self-understanding, learning from God, his purposes and his ministry. And then if you look at verse 5, you can say there that it seems that there's a connection between God opening the ear of Christ, going through the ear gate, if you like, into the mind of Christ and into the heart of Christ, teaching him, revealing to him, leading him, instructing him. And in verse 5, that God reveals to Christ the whole subject of his sufferings, that he had come in order to suffer and to die. And again, you see, as we try and keep together the mystery of the person of Christ, fully God, fully man, how the mind of Christ developed, how his mind came to understand his nature and his ministry, that is it wrong to think that God would have taken Christ through the scriptures themselves, through the whole of the Old Testament unfolding of the seed of the woman who would come to strike the serpent, how he would suffer, how he would be rejected, how he would die innocently. All this unfolded to Christ. And in verse 5 of this passage, you have the fact that Christ says, I was not rebellious. Look at the verse. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. And then verse 6, I gave my back. So you see in verse 6 that the progression from God unfolding to Christ, revealing to Christ, making known to Christ, Christ learning, understanding, seeing his purposes here. And then in verse 6, the giving of himself to those who would strike him, to those who would torture him, to those who would mock and abuse him at the cross. Hearing, and then in verse 6, doing the word of God. Christ becoming the ultimate doer of the word, as he has been revealed by God, who he is, what he's to do, how he's to suffer, putting that then into practice in perfect obedience to his Father. We could shift these out, couldn't we, and see that in this passage you have his relationship to God unfolding, his desire to obey God and to do the will of God, his relationship then to men and women, that he was to be the one who encouraged, he would be the one who would instruct, he would be the one who would uphold, he would be the one who'd support the people whom God had given to him. So verse 6 then, you see him saying, I do not hide my face from shame and from spitting. He had learned that he was to come to suffer. God had revealed this to him, and so he is obedient. Verse 7, For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. You have this idea of knowledge. He has learned that he is to be rejected. He's learned that he's to go to trial. He's learned that there will be enemies against him, and yet he has learned also of his relationship with God, that the Lord God will help him, that the Lord God will sustain him, that the Lord God is on his side. So who can stand against him? Verse 8, he is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my enemy? Let him come near me. Verse 9, surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. So throughout then, this passage, as I'm sure you will recognize other passages too, you have the idea of revelation. Revelation from God through his word to Christ that then shapes Christ's understanding of himself, Christ's understanding of his mission, of his purposes, of the cross, of what the cross itself means. And Psalm 16 and other places throughout the Old Testament, that he would be raised from the dead and that he would then be exalted. So what I'm saying to you is this then. As we seek to understand how Christ came to understand himself, we need to draw attention to the whole area of discipleship. That Christ's self-knowledge was formulated, shaped, governed by his relationship to God, by the Word of God. And that stands equally true for ourselves. So can I say this to you as well then? What can we learn from this? Yes, he's the Son of God. In ways that we cannot penetrate his knowledge as the Son of God would have, what word do I need here? Impacted, filtered, suffused his human consciousness. But let's not emphasize that to the denigration of his state in humility, that the Word became flesh and put himself in submission to God. Lived as a man, humbling himself. And in that role of humiliation, he then, in dependence upon God, had God reveal to him, open his mind, open his heart to self-understanding and to his ministry. We can see through a passage like this the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he humbled himself for us in terms of his identification with us. And then if you think of the cry upon the cross from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm sure you have thought much about that cry of dereliction as I have done and many others have done. It seems as if at that moment, because of the nature of his sufferings upon the cross, his bearing our sins, being punished for them, that in those moments, his conscious awareness of sonship seems clouded. I think perhaps you thought about this last month. He understands clearly who he is, his relationship to God. My Father and I are one. The works that I do not do on my own. It's the Father who sent me does them. So he has this central idea of his relationship as the Son of God. And yet on the cross, as he bears the weight of our sins and the wrath of God, the fire of God from above comes down into his soul and into his bones, for those moments, there's this cloud of sorrow and suffering that seems to cloud the consciousness, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see his humility. We can see his sufferings. We can see, I think, the way that he identifies with us. He is a man like us. And then I think we can also say that he is our example. He said a servant is not greater than his master. And so if Christ's self-knowledge, if his self-awareness is shaped by revelation, is shaped by God through his word in terms of relationship, then I would suggest to you that you as an I also are the way we understand ourselves, the way that we learn to think about ourselves in terms of our relationship to God, our work, our lives, is to be shaped by his word also.